Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 17th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Cairo, where the Egyptian Football Association has formally introduced the Portuguese tactician Carlos Queiroz as the new head coach of its national men's team.
I am, if you allow me to say, not a natural, but a really Egyptian as well, fighting and do whatever I have for my knowledge and experience to do my best to fulfill the dreams of 105 million people in Egypt.
One of the big dreams of Egyptian football fans is qualifying for a fourth FIFA World Cup. The pharaohs of Egypt qualified previously in 1934, 1990, and 2018. They began their qualifying campaign for Qatar 2022 by picking up 4 points, beating visiting Angola 1-0, and drawing 1-1 on the road against Gabon. Egyptian football officials were clearly concerned, though. They gave Hassam El Badri the boot and replaced him with the 68-year-old Queiroz, who previously led South Africa, Iran, and his native Portugal to the World Cup. In the case of Iran, he guided the team to consecutive World Cup appearances in 2014 and 2018. Coach Queiroz pledged to do his absolute best in charge of the Pharaohs.
I can guarantee and promise that I will dedicate my life and my commitment to them.
إن هو هيكرس حياته وعيشته كلها ليهم.
To make them to be better.
ليجعلهم أفضل وأفضل.
To build a better team.
ليكونوا أفضل فريق.
In order for us to be able on the field to perform.
عشان نحقق شكل أفضل للفريق في الملعب
and fulfill the dreams of all Egyptians
ونحقق أحلام كل المصريين.
Coach Queiroz will now focus on World Cup qualifiers in October, home and away against Libya.
That is one important thing. It is what is important in football is the next game.
ما هو مهم في كرة القدم هو المباراة القادمة.
Of course, as I said, Easter makes us feel very proud.
التاريخ يجعلنا فخورين.
But Easter doesn't win games.
لكن التاريخ لا يعني إننا هنفوز.
We need to take the responsibility to play good football, fight for win, and make our antecessors proud of us. Every single player must understand when they dress the national team shirt, it's more than a shirt. It is the dream of 105 million people that they have on top of the shoulder.
That's Carlos Queiroz, the new head coach of Egypt's national football team, the Pharaohs. And he was speaking in the capital, Cairo. The Pharaohs are the most successful team in the Africa Cup of Nations, having won the continent's premier tournament a record 7 times. And the Pharaohs have already qualified for next year's Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon. And our Sunny Side of Sports listeners in Egypt and Nigeria will want to mark this date on their calendars, January 11th, 2022. Egypt will play Nigeria on that date in the opening match for both teams at the Nations Cup. In African club football, Nigeria's 2-time CAF Champions League winner Enyimba FC has signed former international Finidi George as its new head coach. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted Enyimba's media officer, Zazi Barisa.
Finidi George has now been appointed the head coach of Enyimba FC. He signed a 2-year contract, and it's an appointment that has got so many reactions already, especially because of who Finidi George is. He is a former Nigeria international who played in what is now referred to as the golden era of Nigerian football. You remember that team that won the AFCON in 94, went on to represent Nigeria at the country's first appearance at the FIFA World Cup, and also played in the 1998 World Cup, that's in France. So he's a player with a lot of experience. At club level also, he won the Champions League with Ajax in 95 and got to the final the next season. Went on to play in Spain and in the Premier League as well. So he's a coach that comes with a lot of experience in terms of the level at which he played under some of the best managers that you can mention, Louis van Gaal being one of them. And with his level of experience and exposure and the respect that he commands, we want to believe that the future is only bright with the appointment of Finidi George.
What motivated the choice of Finidi George as the new head coach of Enyimba, and what are expectations from him?
We decided to go for Finidi because as a club we are charting a new course and opening a new chapter, and in appointing a new coach we needed someone who embodies the qualities that are needed in this new phase of the club. Finidi George eventually seemed to tick all the right boxes in terms of his experience, in terms of his knowledge of the game, in terms of his exposure. And of course, he's a legend, true and true, a legend of the game here in Nigeria and globally as well. And he's one that inspired so many of the young players that we have in the team right now. As a matter of fact, many of the players that we have in the team right now were quite young when Finidi George was wrapping up his career, so he's one that they looked up to, he's one that they read about, he's one that they watched, and he's one that really inspired so many of them. I know there have been questions in some quarters about the managerial experience that Finidi George does not have, but we are not worried about that. We are quite optimistic that the results that will come out of his time with the club will answer that question. Same way Pep Guardiola's results answered that same question in his first managerial role at Barcelona in 2009. And same was the case also with Zinedine Zidane at Real Madrid in his first managerial role in 2016. The results answered those questions, and we are quite hopeful that the results will answer the question for Finidi George.
When will Enyimba play its first game in the CAF Confederations Cup, and what are your chances in the competition?
Finidi George's first game in charge will be the CAF Confederation Cup fixture against the Ambers. The Ambers are a Senegalese side that were co-founded by football legend Patrick Vieira, the current Crystal Palace manager. That was in 2003, and they are an exciting side with a lot of young players. They have a very good ideology of raising young players and bringing them to the limelight. They've produced lots of very good players, including Idrissa Gueye, currently of PSG. So they are a club with a good mentality, a good ideology, and of course it promises to be a very tricky fixture. But we are ready for it. Finidi George is already preparing the team for it. The first leg of that tie comes up in Senegal on the weekend of 15th October, before the return fixture will be held in Nigeria a week later. So we are quite hopeful of a good performance in that game, because it's always tricky in the knockout rounds of any competition. Anything can happen and you're completely out of the competition. So we understand the challenge that this brings, but we are braced up for it as well.
That's Zazi Barisa, the media officer of the Nigerian football club Enyimba, And Zazi spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Aba, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. This is Zazi Bariza, media officer of Iyimba Football Club of Aba, Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. Next up, the pros and cons of expanding the U.S. Supreme Court. 9 justices currently sit on the high court, but after former President Donald Trump solidified the court's conservative majority with 3 appointees, some Democrats are urging the Biden administration to add seats. The pros and cons of expanding the Supreme Court, that's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Carly Lloyd, one of the greatest players in women's football history. The 39-year-old Lloyd has only 3 more matches left in her illustrious career, and I'm sure more than a few fans are hoping she'll reconsider her retirement. Carly Lloyd scored a career-high 5 goals Thursday night as the U.S. women's national team routed visiting Paraguay 9-0 in a friendly international match played in the U.S. city of Cleveland, Ohio. When asked after the match if performances like that make her want to stick around a little longer, Carly replied, and I quote, "Maybe for a split second, and then I go back to reality." With her 5 goals against Paraguay, Carly Lloyd now has 133 international goals in 313 appearances with the national team. Lloyd announced her retirement last month after winning a bronze medal with the American women at the Tokyo Olympics. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. In a statement released by the U.S. Soccer Federation, Carly Lloyd said when she first started out with the national team in 2005, her 2 main goals were to be the most complete soccer player she could be and to help the team win championships. And she has certainly achieved both of those goals as her storied career comes to an end. The 2-time FIFA Women's Player of the Year helped them win 2 World Cup championships, 2 Olympic gold medals, and most recently, the bronze. And ahead of this year's games, Lloyd described to Reuters News how it felt to represent the United States again in Tokyo.
You know, it never gets old hearing congratulations, you're going to Tokyo type thing. I was extremely honored, grateful, and you know, I think it's just great to know that the roster has been named, and you know, you can just kind of now take a deep breath and just focus all your energy on just doing everything possible to help the team win this gold medal. That's the biggest thing, and it's going to take all 18 players to get this job done.
The U.S. women's soccer team were favored to win gold at this year's games, but the Americans suffered a surprise 1-0 defeat to Canada in the semifinals. But in their next match against Australia, Carly Lloyd scored a record 10th Olympic goal to help her team win bronze. Lloyd's road to the Tokyo Games wasn't always smooth. In 2019, she was outspoken about her frustration with then national team head coach Jill Ellis after Lloyd was downsized to the role of substitute during the 2020 World Cup tournament in France, a snub the 39-year-old believes was based on her age and not her ability.
I think the biggest thing for me, you know, in prepping for that 2019 World Cup was I just felt as if I never had an opportunity to prove myself. I came back from an ankle injury in 2017 that I sustained with the Houston Dash in the NWSL. I was out for a bit. I came back and, you know, I just saw the writing on the wall. Coming back from that ankle injury, I never once, not one single time, in training sessions, in games, had an opportunity to prove myself. I was already being written off. I was already... you know, wanting to be pushed out of the way. But, you know, my my biggest thing is just be so good they can't ignore you.
And Lloyd continued to live by that motto. Last June, she made history as the oldest player to score for the U.S. women's national team. But Lloyd says she hopes to be remembered for her age-defying talent on the pitch.
I didn't want things to be based on my age. I didn't want people to sit here and feed off of this nonsense that wasn't true, that I'm too old, I can't play 90 minutes. I'm playing 90 minutes. I'm fit. I'm one of the fittest on the team. And you have Vlatko not talking about my age. You know, Vlatko's given me an opportunity, just like everybody else, to perform and to play. And if you're good enough, you're going to make the roster and you're going to play. It's as simple as that. So I'm thankful that I've got a coach who isn't using my age against me, and he's given me a fair shot.
In her announcement, Lloyd said, through all the goals, the trophies, the medals, and the championships won, what I'm most proud of is that I've been able to stay unapologetically me. My journey has been hard, but I can honestly say I've stayed true to myself, to my teammates, my coaches, the media, and the fans throughout my entire career. And that is what I am most proud of. Congratulations to Carly Lloyd on her upcoming retirement. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen, and have a good weekend. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us once again with another big, spicy package of African sports highlights. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson!
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We'll begin the wrap of African sports action for this weekend in Nigeria, where the Six Nation Aisha Buhari Invitational Football Tournament for Women enters Day 3 on Friday. Ghana's Black Queens and Banyana Banyana of South Africa will square up at the Mobalaji Johnson Arena in Lagos. Desiree Ellis, coach of Banyana Banyana, speaks of the preparations ahead of the game and the tournament itself.
Look, we had a training session just for the local-based players in South Africa. The overseas-based players only joined the training yesterday and today, unfortunately due to long travel and arriving in the early hours of the morning, which we needed to get them, get the sleep fatigue and everything out. But they've been playing where they are at their clubs. And as you could see with the first training, there was already a bit of understanding. As I said, they've played before with each other and against each other, even though some haven't been here for 2 years. But it's been the transition has been much better than what I expected. Yes, it's not where we want to be, you know, but... We've tried to put as much as we could into the two sessions to make sure that there's a bit of understanding amongst the players that have returned to the team. And I think it's gone quite well in that essence. Now it's up to us, up to the players tomorrow to execute the plan.
On Thursday, Morocco senior women's national team pulled off an upset against the continent's powerhouse Cameroon as the Atlas Lionesses secured a stunning 1-0 victory over the indomitable Lionesses. Staying with the Aisha Buhari Invitational Football Tournament for Women, FIFA President Gianni Infantino as well as CAF President Dr. Patrice Motsepe are in Nigeria for the women tournament, which has been recognized by FIFA for great points. While visiting President Muhammadu Buhari on Thursday, FIFA President Gianni Infantino appealed to the Nigerian president to help FIFA amplify the message of football as a uniting force.
Nigeria is there to lead Africa, but to lead the world. So help us, dear President, to pass our message to those who maybe don't want change, who don't want unity, that football is about bringing people together.
President Muhammadu Buhari, on his part, declared his administration's commitment to use football for the girl child's development and also inspire young people to have rewarding careers in the game.
The Aisha Buhari International Invitational Football Tournament, also called the Aisha Buhari Cup, with the theme "Playing for Good," which just started, could not have come at a better time. This women's football competition is a noble idea here, and I ensure exciting in its execution for our women folk and lovers of football. It is also a confirmation of what we already know about our women.
Same with football news, but in Ghana, there has been mixed reactions following the sacking of the national male football team coach, Charles Akuno. Coach Charles Akuno was fired on Monday after a disappointing start to their World Cup qualifying campaign, and Ghanaians have been reacting.
He's not coaching well. The players are not proving. They are not doing well. So we need somebody who can bring us a good team or a good working, you know, team so that we can achieve what we want to achieve.
CK Akuno was okay. I think he was okay, or he's okay. So I don't see the reason why, and I don't know why they did that, but I don't think it's right.
Right now, we need a white coach. Oh, we need a white coach because the white coaches, you don't dictate for the white coaches, and you don't dictate to them.
I believe they should give the chance to our locals.
With CK, if you look at his track record, you know definitely he can handle these boys. He can handle these boys. But the interference, inviting the right players at the right time, it will help a lot.
Serbian coach Milovan Radovac may return for a second stint as Ghana coach, and local media reports have it that the Serbian is leading the race to succeed Charles Akuno, who was dismissed on Monday. Between August 2008 and September 2010, Milovan was the head coach of the senior national team, and in the 2 years he was in charge, he guided Ghana to the final of the 2010 African Cup of Nations tournament, in which they lost 1-0 to Egypt and narrowly missed out, becoming the first African country to reach the semi-finals of the FIFA World Cup in South Africa. And now to FIFA rankings. Senegal remains the best ranked African country in the latest FIFA ranking released on Thursday. The Teranga Lions moved up to the 20th position in the world from 21 and are closely followed by Tunisia in second place in Africa, moving up 3 spots to number 25 in the world. Reigning African champions Algeria occupy the 3rd position, while Morocco is down 1 spot to 33 and occupies the 4th, and Nigeria maintains the same position it was in the last ranking at number 5 and number 34 in the world to wrap up Africa's top 5. Meanwhile, the top 10 countries in the world are Belgium, Brazil, England, France, Italy, Argentina, Portugal, Spain, Mexico and Denmark in that order. And in club football, South Africa's champion Mamelodi Sundowns could be in the line to participate in the second FIFA Club World Cup in December should South Africa be selected to replace Japan as a host country. Japan withdrew last week amid fears the tournament will cause a rise in COVID-19 infections in a country that has just staged the Summer Olympics and Paralympic Games. The Club World Cup features the host country's league champions and 6 continental club competition winners. And now to athletics. The World Cross Country Championships in Bathurst, Australia has been postponed to 2023 due to COVID-19 restrictions. The governing body, World Athletics, said the postponement is due to the biosecurity measure and travel restrictions currently in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Originally scheduled for February 19, 2022, the 44th edition of the event will now take place in February 18, 2023. Athletics Kenya Vice President Paul Mutui says the postponement is a blow for Kenyan athletes who were set to feature in next year's World Cross Country Championships in Australia.
It's a big blow because, as I said, it's an event that many athletes gauge themselves, use it as a kind of build-up event. It's a very big blow, but then because they have decided on it that way, then we have no option other than accepting it, and then we embark on other kind of exercise and events for the season.
Staying with athletics, the final meeting of the year for the World Athletics Continental Tour Gold Series will take place on Saturday, September 18th in Nairobi, Kenya. The annual event, known as the Kipkino Classics, is scheduled for the Moi International Sports Center, Kasarani, where over 260 athletes and officials from over 28 countries will be participating. Athletics Kenya President Jackson Tui is confident of a successful hosting of the tour, which is coming just a few weeks after Kenya hosted the World Under 20 Athletics Championships.
So this is the second continental tour, as we were given three series to organize: 2020, 2021, and 2022. World Athletics came up with an idea and a vision to expand and offer more opportunities to athletes and everybody else, just like I said, in the industry. And therefore, every continent was given something to organize. And in Africa, this happened to be the first.
In mixed martial arts news, reigning UFC welterweight champion Nigeria's Kamaru Usman has warned Colby Covington to expect another thorough beating when both fighters meet again at the UFC 268 on November 6th. Inside Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena in New York. Usman defeated Covington by technical knockout into the closing moments of a five-round slugfest, breaking his jaw in the process at UFC 245 in 2019. He has since defended the title three more times, while Covington rebounded from that loss with a dominant fifth-round technical knockout of Tyron Woodley in September of last year.
My name is Coach Ufori Asare, the head coach of the national boxing team of Ghana. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
In cricket news, the 2021 ICC Women's T20 World Cup Africa qualifier holding in Botswana is in the semi-finals. Ugandan women will take on the table toppers of Group A, Zimbabwe women, who are on a winning streak after winning all five of their games they've played in the league stages. Namibia women will take on Tanzania women in the second semi-final on Friday. And on to basketball news. The 12th Nation FIBA Women's Afro Basket 2021 tournament tips off this Saturday, September 18th, with the winner to be determined 8 days later on Sunday, September 26th in Yaounde, Cameroon. The top teams in each group will advance directly to the quarterfinals. Group A teams include Cameroon, Cape Verde, and Kenya, while Nigeria, Angola, and Mozambique are in Group B. Senegal, Egypt, and Guinea are in Group C, while Group D include the likes of Mali, Cote d'Ivoire, and Tunisia. Four games are slated to be played on Saturday. It will be Senegal versus Guinea, Mali versus Tunisia, Nigeria versus Mozambique, and host Cameroon will square out against Kenya. Coach Ahmed Mbombo Njoya and Captain Ramses Lonrak of the Cameroon women basketball team both said they are looking forward to a great tournament.
I'm lucky because I have young players who like to work, and for a coach like me, it's a blessing to have players who want to fight.
We do have a young team that, you know, we only have two or three people who has been playing together. But, you know, when you play with professional players, you don't need much time to get to know each other. Right now, we're just in a phase where you have to be mentally prepared. Just kind of prepare ourselves to make sure that we go out there and play our best.
In volleyball news, the Confederation of African Volleyball has suspended the game between Rwanda and Senegal at the ongoing Women's African Nations Volleyball Championship in Kigali, citing technical issues. The game would have determined whether the team tops its group as it heads into the semifinals, for which it has already qualified thanks to victories against Morocco and Nigeria. Meanwhile, Nigeria's national volleyball team will battle Morocco on Friday in their last match of Women's Pool A of the ongoing 2021 African Nations Women's Championships in Rwanda.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale with another extra spicy African sports package. And that wraps up the September 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be enjoying some rest and relaxation the next couple of weeks.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta will be hosting the show. I'll be back behind my trusty Voice of America microphone on Monday, October 4th. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.